Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
On March 8, 2016, Dante West and four friends from California were traveling across country in two separate cars with different final destinations. The last stop they planned to make together was in Manhattan, Kansas, at the apartment of a mutual friend named Jacob Gadwood. As they neared the apartment, a police officer on I-70 spotted the pair of out-of-state cars and immediately suspected them of drug trafficking. He figured one was carrying the load, while the other was a decoy meant to draw heat from law enforcement. When the officer pulled Dante's car over, he was disappointed to have chosen what he felt must have been the decoy, but took note of the destination on their GPS. The officer's suspicions appeared to be confirmed when several pounds of cannabis were later found in the other car. Then, Jacob Gadwood claimed that he planned on buying one of those pounds from Dante, just enough weight to incur a nearly 8-year sentence. But this is wrongful conviction. Wrongful conviction has always given voice to innocent people in prison. Now we're expanding that voice to you. Call us at 833-207-4666 and leave us a message. Tell us how these powerful, often tragic stories make you feel. Outraged, inspired, motivated? We want to know. We may even include your story in a future episode. Call us, 833-207-4666. Welcome back to Wrongful Conviction. This is the first time we featured the story of someone who was wrongfully convicted of a crime that I think we all agree now should never even be a crime in the first place. And it isn't in most of the country, which is cannabis. And I'm talking about Dante West, my friend who is an inspiration to me and so many other people. So Dante, first of all, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. It's incredible just to be on this platform.
We also have an attorney named Chris Biggs, who's been practicing law for over 40 years, who was a Secretary of State of the state of Kansas. So, Chris, thanks for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to share the story.
And it is a crazy freaking story. It involves the misguided, disastrous social policy known as the war on drugs. It has over-policing elements to it. It's got snitches, and it happened in Kansas, but it could have happened almost anywhere. And in fact, it could have happened to me when I was growing up. Different being, I wouldn't have been innocent, full disclosure. So, Dante, let's start with you. You didn't grow up in Kansas, right?
No, I'm from a place called Stockton, California, right between Oakland and Sacramento.
And this happened when you were a college student, right?
Yeah, this happened a couple of years after my high school graduation. You know, I graduated 2013, went out there a few years later. Like I mentioned before, just being from Stockton, California, Jason, and living with my grandmother was the sole provider of two younger brothers that were 8 and 9 years old at the time. My grandmother really encouraged me just to say, hey, you've been taking care of me. You should definitely just go out there on a leap of faith and check out, you know, schools. My good co-defendant, Deshaun Perkins, had a football scholarship at Tabor University. And we were just really just going on a road trip, man. And I was hoping I could continue it out there. First time out of the state, and it was just, you know, a wild experience.
Dante and Deshaun set out on the road in a Hyundai, while three friends of theirs, Victor Lara, Enrique Hinojosa, and Jose Jimenez, joined them in their Lexus.
Yeah, no, I definitely knew the guys. Went to high school with those guys. Friends, for sure. They were going the same direction, but different destinations.
And they had a different agenda.
Yeah, I had like some ecstasy pills, a couple pounds of marijuana. I'm not too sure what was in there, and nothing ever left the vehicle. Like I said, same direction, different destinations.
While unaware of the contents of the Lexus, Dante and Deshaun planned on visiting a few colleges on their way to Tabor College in Hillsboro, Kansas, a state that hadn't yet adopted its neighbors' views on cannabis.
Kansas is surrounded by Colorado, which has recreational use, Oklahoma, which has medicinal use. Missouri now has medicinal use and recreational use. And we're in between all those states, and we still have very conservative state laws about using or delivering marijuana. And there's also a lot of enforcement that happens on the interstate highway. Profiling is not allowed. The issue is whether the officers had an independent reason to stop you. My experience is if you have out-of-state tags and they're young people, that they probably have a better opportunity of being stopped. The practice of using a ruse is very common. They stop people for things like following too closely, having a headlamp with some dirt on it, things like that as a ruse, which constitutionally is allowed.
On March 8th, 2016, Dante and Deshaun were traveling down I-70 in their Hyundai with Nevada plates while the Lexus had only one California plate on the front. Officer Nicholas Blake later testified that he believed that the two cars were working in tandem to transport drugs, with one car carrying the load while the other played the decoy, meant to draw law enforcement away from the drugs. But which was which in this officer's imagination? He pulled over Deshaun and Dante, presenting his ruse as a reason for the stop.
Getting pulled over for having dirt on a license plate on I-70, right? Just actual road grime. Dirt on a license plate is pretty wild. I was a passenger in the vehicle. The driver, he got a ticket for a small amount of marijuana in a Swisher wrapper.
Simple possession of marijuana in Kansas is a misdemeanor. The officer suspected that the particular vehicle was connected to another vehicle. And rather than arrest him, they let him go.
And what the state alleged, right, it was a decoy load car, right? And when you think of decoy load car, you think of like Smokey and a Bandit, right? You kind of think of something that's someone that's going to deviate off to kind of let the drugs go. But really, when we got pulled over by the officer, he told us to exit off the next exit. We got off, went to the Shell gas station, and I started to clean my license plate off. And then we glanced up. We just see these troopers just kind of staring down at us, right?
Perhaps they were alerted to a potential drug bust, only to be sorely disappointed. And if there was anything to this decoy load car theory, wouldn't Dante and Deshaun's car have had something deliberately wrong with it?
They could read the license plate to see who the car was registered. You think the decoy load car, what were they saying, that we put dirt on the license plate in order to get pulled over so the drugs could get away? Is that, I don't know.
The missing rear license plate on the Lexus seems like a way more compelling reason to pull someone over. It would stand to reason, after all, that the officer believed that the Lexus was the decoy. But when the officer found no load in the alleged load car, Deshaun's Hyundai, somehow he held onto the theory and continued his pursuit. However, it did not help matters any when both cars arrived at Jacob Gadwood's apartment. Officer Blake had pulled the address from Deshaun and Dante's GPS and alerted the police in Manhattan, Kansas.
Ultimately, we get near Kansas State University, going to meet a guy that I thought was someone I knew, right? And just went upstairs, and then 20 minutes later, I came down the stairs to kind of greet the guys that I traveled with. They went upstairs. As soon as I get down to the parking lot, this guy pops out in plain clothes and was like, hey, you're being detained. I was like, being detained for what? We just got pulled over on the freeway for having the dirt on our license plate.
So it turned out that although Dante and Deshaun had no idea, there was reason to suspect Victor Lara, Enrique Hinojosa, and Jose Jimenez, who escaped out of a back window of Gadwood's apartment, left in their Lexus, and later were captured in Topeka, Kansas, with a small amount of methamphetamine and over 6.5 pounds of cannabis. Meanwhile, the police searched Jacob Gadwood's apartment.
The owner of the apartment, the allegation was, had his own drugs at the apartment. They basically got that individual to identify Dante as being involved, even though the drugs were found in another car that he was not in.
The person at the apartment said, hey, I was going to buy a pound of weed off Dante, right? There wasn't like no text messages or wasn't any other evidence, right? And we end up going to jail and the fight began.
In Kansas, for certain drug offenses, they're all the way up to level one, which is the same as first degree murder. And if you're charged with a level two drug offense for marijuana, you can get a presumptive sentence of up to 103 months. And if you also happen to be within 1,000 feet of a school, and often in the Midwest, almost everything is within this 1,000 feet of school property somewhere. And they enhance that another level of the crime. But if you kill somebody in the heat of passion, at that time it was 61 months. We have laws that make conspiracy to deliver a pound of marijuana or delivering a pound of marijuana more serious than killing someone in the heat of passion. That's just nuts. But nobody in our conservative state wants to necessarily stand up and say that, at least not enough people, that we can have our laws changed.
Laws like these make it so that the smartest play for the guys in the Lexus is taking a plea deal.
Victor Lara ended up going to prison. A couple of those guys got probation. They took plea deals, right? Because they didn't want to go to jury trial.
People cannot be punished by exercising the right to a jury trial in theory. But what happens is people who take a deal can get a benefit. And the person that goes to trial, even though they're theoretically not being punished for going to trial, the end result often is the person that goes to trial and gets convicted will get a longer sentence than the person that enters a plea.
With these dynamics at play, taking a plea can also be the most practical move for an innocent person like Deshaun Perkins.
He ended up going to prison for 3 years and he lost his scholarship and has a beautiful family now. Great dude, still stay in contact with him. And just unfortunate, man. Like, and I'm the only defendant that went to a jury trial. It's not like I had any good offers or anything like that. And quite frankly, I didn't want to take anything. I'd rather just take my chances at the jury trial.
With Gadwood's word as the sole evidence against him, Dante was charged with possession and conspiracy to distribute the small amount of methamphetamine and one of the pounds of marijuana that were found in the Lexus. And of course, his grandmother and younger brothers were absolutely devastated.
All I could think about is my two younger brothers that were back home, 8, 9 years old at the time. I had to make that unfortunate call to my grandmother, and I literally just told her I was locked up, and she couldn't believe it. Broke down crying. She was from Texas, and she was just really worried about what could happen because growing up, she's seen so many people, including my mother, really didn't know my mother, never met my father. And she just knew how the criminal justice system can do you sometimes, right? Especially if you're kind of far away from home. And she ended up passing away.
Your grandmother died during the trial?
Yeah, died during the trial.
Of a broken heart?
Yeah, of a broken heart. Had a heart attack and my world just crashed. And I think that's the biggest issue, just people that get separated from the families. I was fortunate enough to get out on bail and get back to my younger brothers and just to see all the things that they're going through. It really just woke my mind up how you'll never get time back for the people you love. So I ended up hiring a lawyer and I flew out the week of jury trial, February of 2017. And I met with the counsel and he told me, he was like, Dante, I didn't read your case, but I have a motion here. I'm going to file a continuance for jury trial. It's not because of you. It's because I had a virus. Here's my doctor's note. And I'm going to present it to the judge and we should be able to get some time.
Some lawyers operate on what they call flat fee. You pay me X amount of money, I'll represent you in this case. Other lawyers do it by the hour. Contingency fees are not legal in a criminal case in Kansas. But the problem with the flat fee is the lawyer's getting X amount of money, regardless of how much time's put in. But just human nature, if I've got a case and it might get resolved, I'm not necessarily going to want to put a lot of time into it until I have to, right? And the file in this case clearly indicated that a lot of the motions were filed towards the end of the case. In other words, everybody else has pled out, and then you see a flurry of motions right before trial. So it looked like a lot of preparation was happening just before trial. And the lawyer was sick, and there was a comment made about the doctor's note.
And end up going to that motion hearing with that attorney, and that motion ultimately got denied. And I had to go to trial the next day with not so prepared counsel, and it was super unfortunate on that.
I've never heard that before either. Mm-hmm. A doctor's note. Your lawyer's got a doctor's note? What is he missing? Gym class? And then the judge doesn't bother to give a continuance.
And his reason was that he had the case out for a year and you didn't read any of it. It's just not an excuse and had to go to jury trial.
And so trial went forward with what appears to be a built-in violation of Dante's right to effective counsel. Meanwhile, the state presented several officers that claimed packaging material from inside Gadwood's apartment matched materials found inside the Lexus. And even though Gadwood escaped any kind of accountability, officers and the prosecutor claimed that Gadwood had not received leniency in exchange for testimony. And then Gadwood took the stand.
The state's informant went on stand to testify that he was going to buy a pound of marijuana from me. And I eventually got found guilty of the pound of marijuana.
And also, you weren't caught selling it. This was only that this character said that you were planning to sell it to him, right?
Right.
So it's a thought crime.
And on the way to sentencing, 15 minutes from the airport, just seeing my younger brothers crying in the back seat and feel like they lost everybody, that kind of just woke my brain up. Going out there to that sentencing, learning that 95% of people across the state of Kansas get probation. And I had a host of people support me, you know, no criminal history. And ultimately, man, he just sentenced me to 7 years, 8 months, man, for a first time offense.
You're listening to Wrongful Conviction. You can listen to this and all the Lava for Good podcasts 1 week early and ad-free by subscribing to Lava for Good Plus on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 feral hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
As I got into the reception area of El Dorado and other prisons I went to, you would see these lifers, and they had various crimes that they allegedly committed, and they were fight for their innocence. And it was just so inspiring to see. And I said, if I could put that fight towards a cannabis offense, and whether it be the appeal, I try to work on the appeal, end up losing it. But if I could put that effort and time as those lifers, I felt like if I fought my way as much as I could, I would fulfill my promise, right? If I worked as hard as I can every day to try to come home to my younger brothers.
They were just young kids, right? What were they, 9, 10 years old when this happened?
Yeah, they were babies at the time that happened. You know, I had to pick a foster family for them. It happens across America all the time, man. People just get separated from their families. And I think that gave me that motivation every day to kind of get up, 5:30 breakfast, get to the law library early in the morning, and just try to educate myself just like those lifer guys would do. Then after I lost that direct appeal, and I was thinking, like, I'm going to get this clemency. I wrote 125 state reps. I wrote 40 senators. 4 people wrote me back. A state rep by the name of Willie Dove even actually came and see me during COVID. The Kansas City Star picked it up. It was getting real good publicity. I'm thinking I'm going to get this clemency, right? Mayor of LA stepped in, former Congresswoman Karen Bass, and it was around the time of legalization of Missouri cannabis, right? And first 2 days it sells out. And then you got a guy like me, first time offense, serving nearly 8 years for a pound of marijuana.
A pound of marijuana that you didn't touch, didn't have, and didn't sell, yeah.
Yeah, didn't sell. I mean, allegedly there was no money found, right? Someone said they were going to buy a pound of marijuana, but it wasn't even no money found in the house. It was in another car. I mean, even my co-defendant admitted to later on in an affidavit that, you know, I had no knowledge of it.
Victor Lara wrote in an affidavit, and this is a direct quote, "Dante at no point had knowledge of the marijuana that was in my car. Dante and I were on separate trips in the same direction. The only reason I stopped at Gadwood's house was to take a shower before I went to my final destination," end quote. And this became part of a habeas petition that Dante wrote but had yet to file, just as Chris Biggs was being assigned as his counsel.
Thank God, man, he was appointed to me. He even asked me, "You put this together, right?" And he was surprised. And he was like, "Man, I got to put my law degree on it and fix some errors on it as well. But you have a chance to go home." And I was like, "Man, I didn't believe you." And Chris told me kindly, he said, I'm an older guy. I wouldn't drive this far. I could have just sent you a letter if I didn't think you had a chance.
In addition to the obvious ineffective assistance claim, Chris was also able to uncover a Brady violation.
When I read through the transcripts, it was obvious to me when this informant testified that it was peculiar because he had drugs in the apartment. He testified freely. He did not have a lawyer. There was no grant of immunity that was presented to the defense by the state to show what kind of immunity he got. And there was no plea agreement to show what kind of deal he got. And in this kind of case, where the only real evidence introduced was the testimony of one person, if the state fails to disclose things that could affect his credibility, that can be grounds for a new trial. And what I did is I simply called the person who was the informant, and I asked him, I said, "You get any kind of deal?" He said, "Well, yeah." He worked off his cases, which were never filed. And as it turns out, he even had a confidential informant number. And none of that was disclosed to the defense in the case. And in fact, at trial, he testified that he didn't have a deal. And the prosecutor argued to the jury that there was no deal.
And then at least one of the cops got on the stand and swore under oath that no deal was made.
If by saying there was no deal, he got no formal plea agreement, that may be true, because he never did.
It's more like a wink and a nod, huh?
Well, and in my motion, I said, we have a right to know of any deal, whether it's just a wink and a nod or a tacit understanding. But apparently the confidential informant agreement had been destroyed. So we didn't have the contract with the police department to see what the specifics were. But we knew that he had a confidential informant number, which meant that there was some kind of agreement. And if the case was that he got something for testifying, there's a special instruction you get in Kansas that says view this person's testimony with caution. And so that instruction was not requested and was not given. I think it could have had a great impact on the outcome of the trial. So bottom line is he got a trial whereby admittedly his lawyer was not prepared. He gave medical reasons for that, but was forced to go to trial. And then we had this problem with evidence that was not disclosed about benefits given to a critical witness.
Then Chris asked the newly elected prosecutor to look into what kind of a deal Gad would have gotten.
I called the prosecutor's office. I didn't tell him initially. I'd already talked to the informant. But when they did a check, they found out that he had an informant number. They disclosed that to me. I think it says a lot about the elected official that he was willing to entertain my arguments, listen to me, go back and look at the record, and made sure that they contacted people at the police department to find out what the story was with this particular witness. And once it was disclosed, then agreeing to let him out of prison, and then ultimately they dismissed the charges.
I know, we don't hear these kind of things happen often enough on the show, but occasionally the right thing is done without years or decades of unnecessary, pig-headed, and cruel pushback. So as a result, Dante was released on October 15th, 2020.
I just want to commend Chris, man. He really went in there, worked hard with the DA. He didn't even think it was going to happen, right? Because he'll talk about how rarely this stuff happens. My outdated was 2025. I'm not even supposed to be on this podcast, right? But I'm just super thankful for this integrity of the prosecution and definitely Chris just kind of working hard, man.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress. 30 to 50 feral hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
You got to have the right people in a position of authority that can make good decisions. Well, I was a prosecutor for a lot of years, and my motto was kind of, I'd rather lose for the right reasons than win for the wrong ones. And I always considered a fair trial to be the goal. This prosecutor clearly wanted to follow the law and do the right thing, and they released him from prison based on our allegations in our amended motion. And I think they deserve credit for that. Now, if we had someone else there, they could have forced a retrial, but it would have been a retrial with proper instructions.
Which would have meant cautioning the jury about the credibility of the only witness in this case. So Dante was finally able to be the big brother again.
Yeah, just being released, it was just life-changing, man. And just being home, finally get to fly back and hug my brothers for the first time. They cried, and it was just a sense of relief, man. Just while you're in prison, it really makes you appreciate every single day. Time is something you can't get back. So when I got out, my brothers were in high school. One's a senior now, playing football, trying to get him a scholarship. He wants to continue to play defensive back. And my other one, I was able to, fortunate enough to work really hard and put him through college. He's a freshman, all A's, studying business right here in UMKC. And I'm just super thankful when I was able to come home, provide, get some money, and hit my goal, right, of just kind of putting my brothers through college. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was locked up, man. And I'm just so fortunate and so thankful I'm able to do that. When you get out of prison, you don't get out with no money, right? To take care of two young boys in California where it's so expensive, I had the opportunity to go work in Kansas City. And my story got pretty big and met my dear friend, Nate Ruby. He hired me as one of his first employees, made me an executive as well, and taught me everything I knew about the cannabis industry.
Yes, the irony is real. Dante was wrongfully incarcerated for cannabis, only to emerge and succeed in a business that is now legal and completely new to him.
I met a guy, like I said before, named Nate Ruby. He's the owner of Alyssa Gardens from the Earth Dispensaries out here in Kansas City, Missouri. And he hit me in a DM, man, knew the guy that told on me. And he said, man, come work for me, be one of the first employees. And I would get up every morning with him bright and early. He would just tag me along these finance meetings. I didn't know what was going on, but he would say, just sit in and listen and just take notes, and eventually it'll make sense like it did for you while you was in prison. And it did. And he was able to give me a brand that I was able to get back to prisoners that are locked up in Kansas and around the Midwest and the southern states, where a person that buys my particular jar, they get a percentage of the proceeds to the commissary account so they could talk to their family, buy hygiene items, get food, commissary, stamps and envelopes, anything they need to succeed, right?
And this isn't the only way Dante's getting involved.
Yeah, I'm an advocate associate for the Last Prisoner Project, and we really just work on passing legislation for cannabis, go on the state level and kind of work with key stakeholders on trying to get people released, getting letters, a recommendation of a shorter sentence, working with the attorneys, whether it's presentation at the parole board, filing for the executive clemency, or testifying on the state or federal level on just why legislation should be passed.
And by the way, Dante and I were working on a case together in Louisiana with Kevin Allen, who's was sentenced to life without parole for possession of 2 grams of marijuana, which, just, you know, for people, that's one joint. If it's a decent sized joint, it's incredible.
Jason mentioned Kevin Allen. Got a guy in Kansas named Antonio Wyatt serving nearly 12 years in prison for a few pounds of marijuana just traveling through the interstate.
There's still 40,000 people plus, I believe, to this day in a steel and concrete cage right now in America for pot.
Good thing about the time now, right, we have a great governor in Kansas, Laura Kelly, and she's made mentions of people shouldn't be in prison more than you and I for cannabis, right? So this is her last term, and just looking forward to her taking a second look at some of these cases and making a time that fits the crime. I feel like times are changing, and we're looking forward to helping more people.
So we will be linking Last Prisoner Project as well as your line of cannabis, where part of the proceeds go to prisoners who are still casualties, still serving time, casualties of the war on drugs. And with that, we're going to go to closing arguments, where first I'm going to thank you both for joining us here today. And now I'm just going to kick back in my chair and listen to anything else you feel is left to be said. Let's start with Chris, and then Dante, you close it out.
Well, I would just point out kind of big picture that in society, we make choices every day about what society is supposed to look like. And sometimes legislators and the government's a little slow to respond. I mean, we had prohibition, which tells me at some point in time there was enough political support to control the distribution of alcohol. We put a lot of resources into trying to control cannabis over the years in different states, and we're starting to see it change. And I think there just needs to be a recognition that issue is out there, and it's a very big issue. And I'm hopeful that people will continue to have open and honest discussions about it so that decriminalization can occur in more places. If you're hopping down I-70, you're going to go from one state to another without necessarily knowing what the laws are. People like Dante get caught in the gap. This is where these unfortunate stories come from. So I just hope people will continue to have the conversation and collect the evidence and review it so that things that make sense can start happening. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that would think that possession of marijuana or even distribution of the amounts we're talking about should ever result in a higher sentence than someone hurting someone with a dangerous weapon to the point where they could lose their life or actually killing somebody in the heat of passion. That just makes no sense whatsoever. And I don't think people really understand that until they fall into the net, so to speak. And I think in a lot of places we've been casting much too broad a net. And the other part of it is it doesn't matter what kind of system you have set up. You have to have good people that care and want to do the right thing at every level. And that affects what can happen in any system.
I just want to encourage whoever's listening to this, the same people that are wealthy that pay for these lobbyists in each state that make cannabis legal so they can own retail and cultivation and manufacturing facilities, should it be the same people lobbying to get resentencing for people that are locked up for a significant amount of time in marijuana? Let's put the same energy into resentencing these folks, digging into these cases and helping people that are serving a crazy amount of time for marijuana, right? Nonviolent offenders. I think that's very doable. And I think that's a fair ask from, if you're a Republican, Democrat, it really doesn't matter. What's right is what's right, especially if you got any type of form of legalization, that should definitely happen.
Thank you for listening to Wrongful Conviction. You can listen to this and all the Lava for Good podcasts 1 week early by subscribing to Lava for Good Plus on Apple Podcasts. I want to thank our production team, Connor Hall and Kathleen Fink, as well as my fellow executive producers, Jeff Kempler, Kevin Wardis, and Jeff Clyburn. The music in this production was supplied by three-time Oscar-nominated composer, Jay Ralph. Be sure to follow us across all social media platforms at Lava for Good and at Wrongful Conviction. You can also follow me on Instagram at It's Jason Flom. Wrongful Conviction is a production of Lava for Good Podcasts in association with Signal Company No. 1.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.